good. I'd like to read to you something from the Bible. It's one of my kind of little stories that I think is so great because you can get so much from it that's practical for our lives. And it's from 2 Kings chapter 6. That's the Old Testament. And it's obviously something that we see every day, that we all see floating axe heads every day, don't we? Yeah? You seen a floating axe head recently, Trevor? No, okay, all right. But it says here in verse 1, "And the sons of the prophets said to Elijah, 'See now, the place where we dwell with you is too small for us. Please let us go to the Jordan and let every man take a beam from there and let us make there a place where we may dwell.' And so he answered, 'Go.' Then one said, 'Please consent to go with us.' And he answered, 'I will go.' So he went with them. When they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees." No chainsaws then. "But as one was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water. And he cried out and said," I like this word, it's a bit old English, "but, 'Alas, master, for it was borrowed.' So the man of God said, 'Where did it fall?' And he showed him the place. So he cut off a stick and threw it in there, and he made the iron float. Therefore he said, 'Pick it up for yourself.' So he reached out his hand and took it." Now, I don't know about you, but I've been involved over the years in helping build things and change things, property-wise, church-wise, and I have never seen an axe head float. But here's a story that kind of fits into something that's quite positive, but then something happens that seems quite negative, but it all gets sorted out in the end. Let me say a few opening thoughts. First of all, this young man who came with the others, he was excited about what God was doing. Yeah? That's the first thing. So there was some growth, there was some development, and they come to Elisha and say, "Hey, Elisha, look." Now this was, I don't know if you know this, but if you study it, you will find that this was like one of four training schools that was happening at that time. Under the time of Elijah, Elijah was quite a loner, and he was a prophet, but he liked to spend his time on his own. But Elisha was a man of the people, what we might call gregarious. He liked to have people around him, and he saw the real need, not just to train up one prophet like Elijah had trained up Elisha, but he thought, wow, let's see if God wants to do more. And there was all these schools of prophets. Right? Schools of prophets. So clearly God was doing something there, and they said, "Come on, let's build something bigger, because the place we've got is too small for us. Let's go to the Jordan. Every man take a beam from there." So there were lots of trees down at the edge of the Jordan, and if you cut the trees, then we can build something more suitable to what we want to do. "Come with us," they said. He said, "Okay, I'll come with you." So he went with them, and they cut down trees. Now, here's the bit I want to focus on. "As one was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water, and he cried out and said, 'Alas, master, for it was borrowed.'" You and I may not think that's a major catastrophe. Yeah? I don't know about you, but I have lent a lot of tools out in my time, and some of them have not made it back. And I still joke with Reese Nixon at Swaffham who borrowed my nearly new chainsaw and wrecked it completely in one afternoon. But I still love him. So what's the big deal about the axe head? Well, what you have to understand, in this time, iron was rare. Okay? And so it was very valuable. So if you used it as a tool, you looked after it. Yeah? You looked after it. And if you look into this, what they did every night. Now, I know that all you men, DIY men, do this, don't you? When you've been chopping wood, at the end of it, you all take your axe head off. Yeah? Every night. Yeah, every night. And you put a fresh bit of oil on both sides of it. Yeah? And if possible, you would then make sure that there's a nice sharp edge on it for the next day. Then you would roll it up in a bit of cloth and you would put it somewhere really safe because it was a nickable item. Right? There's one in my shed. If you want one, come and get it. Right? But the thing is, it was different then. And so when he said, it was borrowed, it was because of its value. Yeah, it was something valuable, and so much so that he was in a real panic about it, and he cried out. So the man of God said, where did it fall? And he showed him the place. So he cut off a stick and threw it in there, and he made the iron float. Therefore he said, pick it up for yourself. So he reached out his hand and took it. Firstly, let me scotch sometimes what you will see in books or you'll hear an application of. It does not say that Elisha said, where did it drop? And then he threw in the axe head handle. Does it say that? Don't say that, does it? It says he threw in a stick, right? Actually, that word in the Hebrew language can mean piece of wood, even branch, or even a tree, right? It's quite a big word. But it doesn't mean an axe handle, all right? Because I was always told that actually, when he threw the twig in, it was as though it automatically fixed onto the axe head and came up with the axe on the end, right? Some people who don't believe in miracles, by the way, would say that actually all Elijah did was put a stick in, fish around for it, find the hole and lift it up. But actually, it doesn't say that at all, right? What it actually says is, where did it fall? And he threw a twig in and the axe head floated. Okay, now I'm going to come back to that, but can you hold that just there for a few minutes, all right? Because what I want to use this tonight is an illustration for our lives as a Christian, because I believe it's a wonderful picture of the gifts and the power of the Holy Spirit that God has given us as Christians to accomplish the work for Him that we're called to do. And if we don't have a cutting edge, we can achieve nothing. Yeah? We don't have a cutting edge. And for the Christian, the cutting edge is the power of the Holy Spirit. So, to me, if we're talking here about things that are rare, the rarest thing that I have as a Christian is the Holy Spirit working in my life. Yeah? Without him, I haven't got any cutting edge. I haven't got anything. More than that, I can't accomplish anything. So I like this idea of him valuing his axe head and wrapping it up and taking it back, sharpening it and putting it back on every day. Because you know, I really believe as Christians that if Jesus thought the most important thing that he could leave with us is his Holy Spirit, we need to see how valuable that is. Yeah? How valuable that is to our lives. And we need to actually begin to say, God, without the Holy Spirit, I am just a blunt instrument. And that doesn't mean to say whether you're a pastor like me or Daryl or anybody. It means in whatever we do in life, we need the Holy Spirit to help us be the Christians that God wants us to be, whether I'm a nurse, whether I'm in a factory, whether I'm a bus driver or whatever, whether I'm a painter and decorator or whatever, yeah? If we're going to have an impact for God, we've got to really guard what he's given us and make sure that we keep it sharp. Yeah? Now, I've noticed this, that same with swords and whatever, in armies gone by, it was usually the responsibility of each soldier to look after his sword. Yeah? In fact, if you lost your sword, you could be punished severely for it. I suppose it would be the same as losing your gun today in the army. Yeah? And so this man realized that he couldn't accomplish what he'd gone down to Jordan to do because his axe head had come off. And I just want to ask you that question tonight. If as a Christian, what you're doing with your life doesn't seem to have any cutting edge, yeah? It may be, first and foremost, although it's not mentioned here, but it is mentioned in Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 10. It says, if your axe head becomes blunt, and you do not whet the edge, which means if you do not sharpen it, then you've got to put in a lot more strength and energy to make it do the job. I don't know about you, but we have one of those little things on the side in our house, and it sticks on the worktop, and then you pull this thing down, and then you take your knives and you just go down it. Because I really find it annoying trying to cut any meat with a blunt knife. Have you ever tried that? Yeah? Or when you try it, well, have we got a chef here? There's a famous name of knives, isn't there? What's the famous name that chefs use a lot of knives on? That's the one, yes. See, they use a knife, and they're so good at using their knives. They can do this. See them do that? You can't do that with a blunt knife, can you? It's impossible. In fact, one of the things I don't like doing is when Mary says, can you cut those tomatoes up? And the knife is blunt. Because what happens is, I just get tomato seeds in my eye. Yeah? Straight up in your face. So, what do? We sharpen our knives to make them work properly. And it's the same in our spiritual lives. It's quite easy sometimes to forget that we need to sharpen our lives on God's word and with fellowship with other Christians. See, the Bible says, iron sharpens iron. Speaking about men being together, that we rub against each other and we keep each other sharp. What I found is this, you see, one of the ways that you get blunt is you don't think meeting with God's people is important anymore. Because I tell you what, you get sharpened when you meet with other Christians. Yeah? Not only that, you begin to see the work of the Holy Spirit in other people who are sharpening their spiritual edge with prayer and with worship and with witness. Yeah? Because I want to tell you, it's marvelous when you go out there to talk to people and you're all genned up on how to tell somebody what Jesus did for them. but they want to know some completely oddball question from the book of Genesis, and you forgot to study that. Yeah? So what do? You go back home and you look it up. And you check it up and think, all right. So next time, someone should ask you a question like we had here on our last questions and answers night, when people want to know how many sheep were killed in a day, or how many, you know, how long did it take to put the tabernacle up and all those things. And you just want to tell them about Jesus, but by going out there, you learned that you've got to keep yourself sharp in understanding Scripture. See, I don't know about you, I'm not a natural student. Anybody here natural? Well, you're a natural student. Yeah. Headmaster is a natural student, isn't he? I'm not, see? I mean, the way I got through my O and A levels, it really was the first miracle God ever did in my life. Because basically, I would come in, and I'm the complete opposite of my sister. My sister was such a swot. She just came in, had a tea, went to a room, closed the door. Yeah? And basically, she wouldn't come out till 10 o'clock. Me, I would have my tea, see my mates playing football, and think, I can do this geology stuff when I come in. So I'd go out for 2 hours. Hope there's no kids listening to this tonight. Yeah, it's good to look at the back. And then I would come back in about 9:15, and I would skim through 300 years of Earth's history, Precambrian, Cambrian, and go through it, right, and do all my stuff. Yeah, that's enough tonight. Go to sleep. Right? So honestly, I don't know how I got me GCSEs and my A-levels, because I winged it. But, you know, really, you wouldn't want me to be a brain surgeon tomorrow, would you? Because we expect those people to know what they're doing. But as Christians, I think sometimes we can have a similar attitude that I have. We just think we'll wing it, you know? We don't know, really. And I've had conversations just recently with people saying, you know, I've been a Christian a long time, but I just don't know anything about that. Yeah? Then I'll tell you, God wants us to realize that when we come together, whether it's in groups or whether it's, you know, on our own personal study, actually, when we come to God's Word, it sharpens us. Yeah? It sharpens you. And without that, you will become quite dull. And without the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, become quite blunt. And you will have to put more and more energy into it. Yeah? And eventually, you know what happens as we see here? The axe head comes off. Yeah? Just got too blunt. And sadly, I think, like this man, there comes a point where you think, actually, I've lost what I really needed to do God's work in my life and for Him to fulfill His plan for my life. So, what did he do? Well, first of all, he went to Elisha. It's a good thing to always seek help. Yeah? Spiritual help. Yeah? And I personally believe why we need to be in a church is because the people that you get your advice from is really important. Yeah? He knew that Elisha had worked with Elijah. These men knew God in their own life. I want to tell you, I'm not against what is on God Channel, but I want to take advice from people I know who've walked the walk and lived the life. Yeah? Because sometimes I see things on Facebook and YouTube and whatever, and I think, I don't know who these people are. But so many people are influenced by them things. That's why God wants us to be part of a fellowship, because when you go to people you know, you can usually trust that they'll help you with the right kind of advice. See, Elisha knew that in that Jordan River, by the way, just in case you've got the idea that the Jordan River is a beautiful, blue, sparkling river. I don't know if you know, it is actually, if you read in the Old Testament, where Naaman had to get baptized to get rid of his leprosy, he said, "What, that dirty river?" You know what I mean? You want me to get into that and dip seven times? He says, "There are far better rivers in Syria where I come from." So what I'm saying is he couldn't see where the axe head had dropped. Yeah? It was invisible. He needed divine help to go where he'd lost it. You know, in our lives, we need to go in the right places so that we can hear people say to us, "Hey, look, you've lost your cutting edge. Where did you lose it?" Yeah? This guy had no problem. He could say, "Over there." And we need to look back in our lives and ask ourselves, am I getting blunt? Have I lost my axe head? Have I lost that freshness, that sharpness in my spiritual walk? Because I have found this as a pastor. You know, Daryl don't ring me up every morning and say, "Morning, Paul. Time to get up and have a little prayer time." Yeah? Because you begin to realize if you want God to do things in your life, if you want God's blessing to be upon your life, then your time with God is something you need to prioritize with. If this man had seen the need to prioritize sharpening his axe, it wouldn't have come off. Yeah? And sometimes we can lose things because we just don't make the things that God says we should make the priority. Yeah? So I want to encourage you tonight. I don't care what it is. I'm not bothered it's morning, afternoon, night. I don't know. But all I'm concerned about is that you know that your axe head, that your spiritual life, that the Holy Spirit working in you is something that you take seriously and you want to keep sharp. Yeah? Because it's very easy, isn't it? Very easy to sort of like fake it. Yeah? We can be good fakers, yeah? How are you this morning? "Oh, I'm wonderful. If you only knew." Yeah? And I know that more than anything else, we can be going through things in our lives. And you know you're only going to get through that if there's a sharpness, if you're cutting edge spiritually. Is able to accomplish something. So this guy said, "It's over there. I lost it over there." So I just want to say to you tonight, if you actually feel a bit blunt, if you actually feel, "Hey, God doesn't seem to be working much in my life. I've had this scripture given over me when I got baptized that said in Jeremiah 29:11, you know, 'Behold, I've got plans for you, plans to bless you and give you a hope and a future,' but it don't seem to be working out at the moment." It could just be that you've actually let your spiritual life become a bit blunt. Yeah? See, we all know, if we're honest, we all know when we look into our hearts what things we really value. Yeah? What do you really value in your life? And as Christians, God's shown his value, how much he values us, how much he loves us. And we need to see that without him, Jesus said very clearly, "Without me, you can't do anything. I am the cutting edge of your life. I am the one that can help you to sort out the wood from the trees and cut it down." Yeah? I'm the one who can do that. So clearly, knowing where you lost it. And that all that means is that we own up to the fact. Don't blame anybody else. Don't look at others. "Well, it was his fault. I lent it him last night." And he never, you know, we can always try and blame other people for it. You know, it's a good thing. I find God likes it when we take responsibility. Yeah? And we say, "It's my fault, I didn't sharpen it." Yeah? "It's me, Lord, it's just come off. But it was over there, and I want it back." That moment that we begin to point out that we want our cutting edge back is the moment we really begin to let God start to work a miracle again. Yeah? Really start to work a miracle. And here's the thing. He just gets a twig and says, "Over there, shum, and throws the twig where he thought the iron fell. Yeah? So, now, I'm not a scientist, but I do know this much. Iron doesn't normally float. Is that right? As far as I know, iron doesn't normally float. So it must have been something that counteracted the whole... What? Chemistry, that'll do. Because gravity pulls you down, doesn't it? This came against gravity and came to the top of the water. As far as I know, only God can do that. Yeah? Only God can do that. But it's interesting with Elisha, and I'll just put this out there to you, that Elisha often used things in his miracles that he worked on behalf of the Lord. He used things that were involved in the thing that needed changing. So in other places in the Old Testament, you'll find that he took meal and he put it in something and the meal was bad, but when he put the meal, it changed to good. Right? When he said, oh, the water's salty, he gets salt and he puts salt in and it becomes clean. As though he takes something and by the power of God, there is a miraculous change in what he adds to it. Now, here's one thing that we do know. Does wood float? Yeah? Wood floats. So it's almost as though by throwing in the twig, he was saying, iron, be like that wood. Let the nature of iron change. Let this which doesn't float, float. You get that? So he picks up the iron and it's sorted. I want to say to you tonight that one of the things that God does in us when he's going to work a miracle is change the nature that's inside of us. I don't know how God can make a piece of iron swing. And I don't know how God could change me from what I was. But I know he can. It doesn't matter what we've been or what we've done or where we're at. Yeah? God is able to change the nature of what it is and work a miracle in it. Yeah? Because some people say, well, miracles don't happen for me. No, they do. They will. When we acknowledge, we need God to come and do something fresh in our lives. See, I've realized this, that everything I've got from God is borrowed. He said, it was borrowed. Yeah? You know, when I became a Christian, I realized that God's grace and favor on my life comes from him. I haven't got it in myself. Yeah? One thing you can't be with God is a self-made man. You have to be a God-made man or woman. Yeah? It was borrowed. You know, God has given to every one of us here tonight what I call divine entrustments. He's given us things to use. And the question is, are we using it? Are we using what God's given us? Say, well, God seems to give me a gift to reach people this way or to care for people that way or to show his love this way. Listen, you've got to realize God has given you that as an entrustment. His favor and his blessing on your life is because you see everything you have comes from him. Yeah? Everything you have comes from God. And because he gives it to you, it's your responsibility to look after it. Yeah? Your responsibility to look after it. There's nothing going to be achieved without it. But if you have lost it, just go back where you lost it. God can change it. And God can change you. There's nothing better when God reconnects you to your purpose. Yeah? When the Holy Spirit in your life connects with you and all that God has given you. And you find that you can accomplish what God has called you to be. Yeah? One of the things I believe that many Christians today sometimes struggling to find is why we're not seeing anything. On Friday night I was in our village, we were doing a message church in our village where I live, and an old lady who loves the Lord, she just came in and she said, why can't we see this? You know, I can't answer for her. All I know is this, that I believe if we pray, if we keep ourselves filled with the Holy Spirit, if we keep sharpening ourselves with God's Word, yeah? If we keep sharpening ourselves being around brothers and sisters who are passionate about Jesus and want to see His kingdom come, something will happen. Yeah? Something will happen. And what I love about this guy, and I'll close with this, Elisha says to him, pick it up. Yeah? You've got to take it back. God never wanted you to lose it. Isn't that great? God never wants us to lose what He's given us. Yeah? He wants us to treasure it. He wants us to value it, wrap it in a cloth and whatever. And He says, listen, pick it up and get back to using it. And I just feel sometimes it's easy. This guy could have gone to the bank and sat there all day. I've lost my accent. What am I going to do? But thank God he realized he couldn't do anything without it. When we say, oh God, yes, I've been a bit blunt. Yeah, maybe I've lost what I shouldn't have lost, but I want it again in my life. I want to have a cutting edge that sees what you actually saved me for, what you want to do through me and through my life. And if we pick it up again, it'll be more valuable than ever it was before. We'll look after it more. Yeah? You know, just of late, we seem to be going through teapots. Well, let me qualify that. Mary seems to be going through teapots. Yeah, only the lids. If anybody has got a trade in bottom teapots without lids, we've got quite a few. Yeah? And one of the things Mary didn't say when she dropped the other lid the other day, she didn't turn around and say, well, that's it. We're not having tea no more. That's it, I broke free. She put it on her list and said, I'm getting another one. Yeah? That's the spirit God wants us to have. Yeah? Because sometimes, whatever we go through in life, we can get blunt, we can lose something, but the Holy Spirit wants us to reconnect. Yeah? And if we listen to God's word, where'd you lose it? Well, I actually lost it when I did that stupid thing. Okay, go back to that point. Yeah? Say, it was here. I own up. Yeah? Okay. Axe head float. Praise God, isn't it? Isn't it great to know that we have a God tonight who works miracles? Yeah? He works miracles on our behalf. Amen? So, may God help us tonight. And just to realize that more and more, that He wants you to be sharp. Turn to somebody and say, stay sharp. Don't lose your cutting edge. Amen?